Welcome to the Work Smart Club podcast, hosted by Dr. Cynthia Howard, executive coach and Lean Sigma Black Belt, and brought to you by Work Smart Consulting. Inside of you is the power to transform your world. You just have to unleash your potential. Get ready for strategies you can use right now. Leadership leverage you need.
Do you follow a certain leadership model or strive to be the type of leader you read about in a theory, like transformational leader or servant leader? Maybe an archetypal hero's journey leader. Well, I want to talk about the trap that leaders fall into by trying to be all things to all people and instead think about becoming a situational leader, one who rises to the occasion that presents itself. The fact is, leadership models are not going to get you through the challenge. But what you can do is take the revelation from that leadership model and draw from each of those theories the bits that are going to help you prepare for the situation and show up ready and able. So in one situation, you may want to use something out of servant leadership, whereas in another situation, you may want to use something from transformational leadership. But we're going to talk about specific characteristics that you can develop within yourself so that you develop an authentic leadership, one that is thoroughly you, but refined with certain skills and abilities. So recently I was working with a group whose leader said he was a servant leader, but by his directors, he was described as passive and staff described him as inconsistent. So there were really mixed feelings about his quote unquote leadership. So when we explored this leadership model in coaching, he had a hard time articulating what it meant. He said he wanted to model for his team how to be a leader, and he thought that just by walking around and asking people their opinions instead of making decisions, he thought the group would understand what it looked like to be a leader. But instead of the group sharing their ideas and talking it out, one of the informal leaders stepped up, grabbed control, and hijacked the discussion so that the loudest voice was the one that was running the show. And this further and further alienated other people in the group, so people became quieter. So he ended up demonstrating a very passive, aggressive leadership style, which wasn't anything like he wanted. So a servant leadership style is really grossly misunderstood, and it's really not well represented in the real world. And just like the leader in our example, the person ends up looking very passive and ineffective. I do see servant leaders, though, in organizations, and that's where leaders recognize that service is paramount, and their concern is for the well-being of the team. So it is a type of leadership, but it has to evolve within a culture that appreciates empowering people and encourages open discussion, because a servant leader is going to work with their team to narrow the gap between decisions being made and the power that is being exercised. So it requires time, energy, and a strategy to develop everybody on the team. It's really not practical, particularly in today's world where things happen so fast, but it is possible to exercise this type of leadership when it's really necessary. So an alternative to this may be to recognize that as the leader, your job is to ensure that your team has all the resources they need to do their best job. And in this way, you are in service to them because you're removing the roadblocks, the red tape. And this is quite different than the command control leader that issues decrees and demands, and people under them step up to make that decree happen. So what's happened in organizations over time is that evolving out of the industrial age, when there was one phone for 50 people Change was very slow. Departments were created to handle the functions that corporations needed, like marketing, like customer service, like compliance. All these different departments were things that organizations needed. But you could work a month on a project and nothing would change. And clearly, we are no longer there. We are in the digital age. Everyone has at least one phone, and some people have two, especially if you're in a leadership position. And the information onslaught is tremendous. There's a constant fear of missing something, and as technology continues to creep into our life, leaders are expected to manage all this information without an assistant, because after all, our devices are supposed to make us more effective, when actually they add more work because of the learning curve and because of all the other things that they bring to the table. So while technology was originally thought to bridge many functions, people now have not set boundaries up between their devices, their work, their personal life, and people are more intimate with their phones than they are with human beings. So there's this third party that ends up being a part of relationships, whether it's your personal relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your family, or at work, these phones that are sitting on the tables in meetings, keeping people distracted. So everyone's attention is really divided. So how do you stop trying to be all things to all people? Well, first of all, stop trying to copy a theory, because theories are just that, they're concepts. And in order to be the leader the situation needs, you have to know how to set boundaries. You have to know how to plan. You have to set priorities. You want to have a vision and you want to focus. It's possible that these leadership theories provide a bit of a vision, but they shouldn't be your vision. Because to say, I want to be a transformational leader, it's completely out of context. What if you're working in a field or in an organization whose pace of change is faster or slower than that of a transformational leader? So for example, with the servant leader, that doesn't always work in situations. Now, it's possible that that could work in certain situations, but it's not always going to be applicable because the context of life changes. There could be a major disruption, and at that point, you need a leader who is more firm and authoritative. Okay, so what ends up happening is the rebound from a servant leader ends up being the drill sergeant or the football coach who shouts out orders to keep everybody motivated and engaged. And while that works for a little bit, people eventually tune it out. And if you're in a remote work setting, before you know it, their cameras are turned off and they stop coming into the office or they stop showing up at meetings. So leadership is not theory, okay? It is an action step. It comes through you, which includes your personality and your strengths. Now, I've thought a lot about theories in particular because I have a PhD and I spent years and years in school learning all about them. But also as a nurse, this was so interesting to me. As a nurse, I remember working at the University of Maryland Medical Center. We had always had lots of professors coming in talking about theories, and they would talk about the theory of caring. And I always thought it was so odd because here they were talking about the theory of caring. We would hear a lot of speeches about it. There would be these grand rounds where they would talk about their research, yet no one was modeling it. Nurses were burning out like crazy. Satisfaction surveys weren't any good, and staff were simply going through the motions of caring, but they rarely talked to their patients. And physicians were notoriously going into patients' room, hardly making eye contact, ripping off the wound to take a look at it. Let's say it was a surgical problem they had. They would look at the wound. They would mumble something to the patient. The patient is just sitting there with their mouth open. They haven't even been addressed by name. And then the physician would walk out. So much for the patient-first philosophy and so much about the theory of caring. And I guess the physicians didn't see the research that said 97% of patients wanted to be addressed by name. They never mentioned their name. So they had surgeries to perform. They had an office full of patients, and nurses had other, quote-unquote, important work to do. But professors were walking around about the theory of caring. So I just wonder about theories. They work in academia, but in practicality, what is it you need to understand? Leadership is one of those topics that has been the most heavily researched and is still misunderstood. And maybe that's because leadership comes through personality, and so it looks different for everybody. So a servant leader that has a certain personality might show up one way, whereas a servant leader with a different personality shows up another way. That could be it. And is it because leaders make things happen, and when they do work, no one stops to look at, was it the leader that made it happen, or was it a whole series of other events that happened? But of course, the leader is going to take the credit for what happened. So leadership is a confusing element, and I guess what I want you to understand is that you as the leader are the theory. Show up in an authentic way and be credible, and you're going to make a difference. Now, one thing I hear a lot from new leaders is that they think leadership is all about changing the structure of the organization to fit their vision of how things should go. When in fact, leadership is really about helping your team have the resources, the environment, the support to do their best job. So theories really should be a model, but not necessarily become the map. And the great disruption of 2020 showed us that handling disruption requires a unique way of thinking about issues. And in last week's podcast, I talked about the blind spot that leaders have as it relates to thinking about things, the same level of thinking that you used when the problem was created is not going to be the thinking that's going to get you through the problem. So the ability to be the leader that the situation needs requires certain skills. So put the theory aside and think instead about what are these skills that I need to handle constant disruption, because we are living in the digital age and this is what's happening. So I remember working with one leader who was brand new to an executive level leadership, and he was a little bit nervous about being seen as credible. Even though he had experience with what this department was going through, which was a major regulatory issue, there was a lot of tension. People were working overtime. People were having to cross their T's, really focus on certain details of the operation because of this major regulation accreditation process they were going through. And he noticed that the tension was high. Well, one of his hobbies was actually as a scuba diver. So one day he came in to do rounds in full scuba gear. He had his flippers on, he had his mask, he had the tanks, he had other implements, and just really was funny. Everybody cracked up. And the tension was relieved, and people, without him even saying anything, understood that he had their back, that he was going to support them. So he used humor, which was one of his unique strengths and part of his personality, to break through and to start to build trust. Because one of the characteristics that very powerful leaders have is they know how to build trust. And trust is that currency that leaders trade in. That's one of the things that isn't talked about when you look at leadership theories. And one of the things that I've noticed is that leaders that build trust It's a twofold process. They have a strong character. They're honest, open, transparent, and fair. They're authentic. And they're also competent. They have knowledge, skills, expertise, and they come off as credible. So if you take a look at your interactions with people and you just measure yourself on those two scales, how does my character show up? How is my credibility showing up? Can I quickly develop this trust so that we can work through whatever challenge it is? And here's where then problem-solving skills come in. So can you see how you can't just copy a leadership style? Because that's trying to please everyone. When you become the transformational leader or the servant leader, you're simply doing that to please someone or to give a comfort level to someone. Maybe it's your mentor, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's someone that you respect. When in fact, that's actually the antithesis of leading. You're actually following when you choose to copy someone. But if you can stand with your team and teach them how to problem solve, now you are operating with them and you are going to use trust as the vehicle to move you through the challenge. And so emotional intelligence is one of those skill sets to help you build the trust because it will help you increase your self-awareness. Leaders that build trust have a lot of self-awareness. They understand how they're coming across to their people. They know if their edginess is creating a credibility gap. They know whether or not barking out orders is working in this situation or it's falling flat in another situation. The more self-aware you are, you also increase your situational awareness. And this is where strategic awareness comes in. So as you build that self-awareness, you actually become better at problem solving because you're managing your internal landscape and you're not reacting or overreacting to what might be happening in the environment. So two of the skills within emotional intelligence that are important are assertiveness and independence. Now, independence is not necessarily working by yourself, working without somebody telling you what to do. It's mainly independent thinking. So can you think independently? And when you do that and you speak assertively, now you can step up and in the face of challenge, introduce new ideas, share your creativity and your new way of thinking about things. So learning to think differently and developing your emotional intelligence is best done using a problem-solving model. Because all of these behaviors need context. Okay, so if you're solving problems, you're interacting with people. That's when you learn to listen. So when you're solving problems, you want to talk to those people who are closest to the problem. So you learn to listen. That's part of emotional intelligence. You recognize that you don't have all the answers and you're listening to what they have to say. And you might be asking certain important questions to draw out even more information. That helps that individual feel valued and feel appreciated. Now you're building trust. So as you gather that information, then you have to formulate it. And using some methodical problem-solving approach like Lean Sigma, the five whys, the eight disciplines, whatever it is you're going to use, you're going to put that information into some kind of order so that step by step you work through it and you don't jump to solutions or jump to assumptions and allow that to drive your problem solving. So using these disciplines, you actually increase the opportunity for creativity and creative thinking. And this is really where leadership, so to speak, starts to shine. When you can model for everybody else what it is you're expecting. You want everyone to become a problem-solving ninja, not just you. So you empower them to solve their own problems. Maybe you're going to set up what's called Kaizen events, smaller projects that can be handled on the fly, part of a continuous improvement process. So again, you're being a leader that the situation needs, meaning building a problem-solving culture, setting people up to have skills that they didn't have before so they can handle more frequent change, they can handle the disruption, instead of trying to be all things to all people by copying servant leadership style or transformational leadership style. So I hope this makes sense, because leadership is one of the most rewarding opportunities that you have, not only because you're going to help your organization and you're going to help individuals, but because you are learning and growing along the way. It really is an inside-out job, and it requires you to be introspective, to monitor your own behavior and your activities to be better every single day so that you can show up better for your followers, for your company, and for all the other stakeholders that you're involved in. So develop skills in problem solving. Develop those skills in emotional intelligence, like assertiveness and independent thinking, and understand that you are the theory. And that when you consistently show up with competence and character, you're going to establish trust. And you use these problem-solving skills, you're going to build a platform of transparency and fairness. And this is what makes leadership strong and you, the leader, the situation needs. So stop trying to be all things to all people. It's definitely a losing battle. So in the meantime, stay energized and be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in to the Work Smart Club podcast. We love our listeners and want to hear from you. Please join us at WorkSmartClubNetwork.com. Stay connected and subscribe to our show so you never miss any of the content. Leaving us a positive review lets everyone know we add value. We thank you for it.